there is just this like incredibly powerful force in who I am that just wants to create something from nothing. And it's kind of crazy.
You're special.
What?
I said you're special.
Oh, I mean, no, I think we all have that idea to create inside of us. And for whatever reason, I've just like either fed that or someone's fed that in me. And I've seen the fulfillment and joy that I get from it. And so it's just something that drives me.
Welcome to another episode at the Deeper Than Dough podcast. Today we have Bennett as a host, and then we have Scott Porter, the founder of San Diablo Churros. We are welcome to have you.
I'm so glad to be here. Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
So switching off from armpits procedures.
We do need to have that PSA, though. I think that
here's the PSA. We all need it. It's called Mirror Dry. I think they told me like 80% of the people, and it's an armpit procedure. So it's non-invasive. There's no cutting or anything like that. But you stop sweating from your armpits, and then you stop producing body odor. So I haven't used deodorant in years.
That's like the biggest life hack of all time.
I think it was like $1,800 for the first one, and like 80% of people need one treatment. And then like, you know, 20 or 19% of people need two treatments. I did three treatments.
Well, okay. So did you do any of the like financials on that? Like, what do you spend yearly on deodorant?
Oh no. I kind of started down that path, and then I'm like, I would have to survive for another 100 okay. plus years.
Well,
deodorant is so cheap. And after the three procedures, you know, I think it was $1,800 and then like $500 for the other two. So maybe, you know, maybe I spent $3,000 on it.
Yeah.
But investing in that was a really good one. LASIK was amazing. I got a gastric sleeve surgery as well. That was amazing. When you invest in your body for whatever, I mean, like making permanent changes, I'm doing a laser hair removal on my face. So right here, neckline.
Yeah.
So you never have to shave.
You're just optimizing everything.
You are literally the optimal human. That is.
But like you could go on a trip or something. Or, I mean, I still go on trips, so I don't want to say sacrifice your trips but these are like lasting changes that single day I don't put on my contacts and I haven't I'm like, this is cool stuff.
I know. I had
it's a little vein maybe, but I like it.
Cataract surgery here on this eye. Because we were playing racquetball with my mom and I took a ball to my eye. I wasn't wearing, so there's another PSA, please wear eye protection when you're playing racquetball. Or any ball sports, I guess. But so I got a cataract. It shattered the lens. And so I had like horrible. And so in 2020, I got 20/20 in this eye. So they put a new lens in, prosthetic lens, and I see perfectly here and I still wear a contact here.
Yeah.
Really?
Anytime you can invest in your body, and there's a balance of like the vanity. And I've struggled with it a little bit of like, you know.
Where's the vanity though?
Well, the vanity is why can't you just accept yourself as you are, right? Rather than trying to change it. Especially like with the Dirty Dough platform and everything that I built it off of is all about like combating the Instagram effect of showing perfection when you're not perfect. But I think if I could accept everything perfectly, then that would be great. But this is the better way for me, makes me happy.
Yeah. I think they're also like, as far as the like laser hair removal and stuff like that and sweat, I mean, there's like some efficiencies and just I think there's a certain level of just like accepting what you have been given or not given or whatever the case may be and like rolling with it. And then there's also the side of helping your self-esteem, and some of those things can do that.
Yeah.
Like I have never considered or thought about any like hair transplants, for example. You know, I've just like, I'm cool with being bald and I
just like got a good head.
Well, thank you. Oh man. There are other choices to do it, but I just have not opted in for that.
Stop calling
just,
to you.
I mean, well, it's just, yeah, for in this particular case with this particular body part and feature, like it's easier for me.
Yeah.
you know, and I'm just like, I'll roll with it. And
so I have a question, and we'll cap this to like a minute and we'll get into the meat of this. But oh, this Scott, is do you great. Do you believe we have free will?
Free will?
Yep, free will.
Free will.
Does free will exist?
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that after the show. That's the whole conversation.
I feel like I'm like entering into like a, we just like got a off trap one. Or something nope, here.
Nope. Okay.
Or there's some loaded other things going on with that question. But I mean, yes, yeah, I do.
Let's get back to the normal topics of the podcast.
Well, first, should we have him tell a little bit about his background?
Yeah, let's do that.
Probably the most impressive.
Yeah, it is. And you should eat his churros. Oh, hot diggity damn.
Scott's the best at building brand and connection with customers. Probably.
Let's hear about it.
Yeah, he's amazing.
You're so nice. It is something that I'm completely obsessed with. So what should I tell you? I mean, I guess right now I'm focused really on two main things. One is San Diablo Churros, Artisan Churros. We call ourselves a gourmet churro experience company, and we're growing, and we have like two sides of that, and a fresh side and an e-commerce side, and we're hopefully going to be introducing a frozen side here soon. And then I also run Vitamin T, which is a brand experience consultancy, kind of what you were just alluding to. So I help business leaders embrace the competitive advantage of creating more humanized brand experiences and how to do that, how to integrate that into your organization. Every touch point, every day, at every level of your business. So that's fun. And this is kind of like the culmination of a very eclectic career background for me. Mm-hmm. I've been all over the places, from industries to geographies as well. After I got my MBA from BYU, I worked for a nursing home business in Southern California and ran a couple of nursing homes in the LA area. And that was where I never in a million years thought I would work in a nursing. I've always been an entrepreneur my whole life. Like, it's just been something that I do, mm-hmm. and something that I think my dad and mom like inspired in me. And once you have that bug, like you just can't shake that.
Yep.
Ran a couple of nursing homes as kind of standalone businesses, and both of them were turnaround situations. And that's really where my incredible obsession with brand and customer experience began, because we didn't have money. The first nursing home I was in the Pasadena area, we didn't have any money to dedicate to like a really robust marketing program or plan or anything. We had 200 direct competitors within a 10-mile radius. Oh, like, we were 50% geez. Occupied. We were bankrupt. Like, no one knew about us. No one wanted to work for us. And so it was like, okay, here, make it happen. And so that type of challenge was super compelling to me. And so I began to study, like, what are all of these great brands do that keep people coming back from? No one wants to go to a nursing home, but at least we could make it a positive experience, you know? So I studied Disney, In-N-Out, Chick-fil-A, Trader Joe's, Ritz-Carlton, like all across the board. What do they do? What systems and things do they put in place to create an experience that we all talk about at dinner, you know? Yeah. And basically create these fierce evangelists. And so anyway, that's where my obsession started with that. I implemented this system and framework that I created, pulling from a lot of different principles of all these titans in customer and brand experience. And we saw like incredible results, you know, turned our facility around. We were, you know, 90% occupied. We made some really great money that year from a revenue perspective. We became the facility of choice for people to work, like top talent wanted to go there. And I think one of the biggest like, you know, kind of feathers in your cap in that sort of industry, in the healthcare industry, we had doctors refer their parents to come stay with us, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And that's like, our team was just incredible. And we really created something special there. And so I thought, gosh, this is amazing. I want to see this work all over. So I did it in another nursing home. Then I took a little bit of time out of senior healthcare because it was pretty intense, and worked in the consulting, in management consulting for a couple of years out in DC for companies in Latin America, and then came back into senior healthcare with a home health agency, implemented the same system, saw amazing results. And then some friends and I started an airline. We started the first all-you-can-fly membership airline out of Santa Monica, called Surf Air.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. And so that was, I mean, and then obviously after I left Surf Air, the next natural step would be to start a churro business. Makes perfect sense for senior healthcare to airlines to churros. And now tacos too, because my whole life is like Mexican food. So yeah. The vitamin T for the brand consultancy business that I do is, it stands for tacos and transformation. So kind of both, we need both, more of both of those in our lives. And so I've used the taco experience as this like simple, beautiful, approachable masterclass in how to create a humanized brand experience. Mm-hmm. And I just had one today. Like I literally couldn't have planned it better. Do you want me to tell you about it?
Yes.
It was incredible. I went out to West Valley for this vendor meeting to look at some packaging that we're doing for our Churro Fiesta in a Box. On my way back, I saw this kind of beat up, you know, little taco stand, and I was hungry and I'm always in the mood for tacos. And so I stopped and I put on the brakes and stopped in. Then I went and I realized I didn't have my wallet. And I said, oh, I assumed they took cash only. And so I asked her, I'm like, hey, excuse me, do you guys take cash? Or do you guys only take cash? She said, no, we take credit cards too. I'm like, oh, great. Then I couldn't find my credit cards either. I'm like, do you take Apple Pay? And she's like, I don't know. Let me check. So she comes back. It's like, no, but just come in and eat. And I'm like, but I don't have anything to pay you. She's like, don't worry about it. You can pay me later. It's not a big deal. Just come back when, you know, you'll come back. I'm like, okay, but I feel so bad. I don't have, she's like, please, I would love to give you food.
Uh-huh. And this was today.
Like hours ago.
That's awesome.
So I talk with her. I'm like, what's your name? Sophia. She's from Mexico City. I love Mexico City. Do taco tours to Mexico City. I'm like, this is amazing. I'm like, I had finished my experience with her. And as my experience is happening, I eat the tacos. This other guy comes back and she says to him, he's like, oh, let me go get you my payment. She's like, don't worry about it. Just eat. A gusto, which means eat like comfortably, you know, just enjoy your food and then come back and pay me. Don't worry about it. I thought, wow. So I called my team afterwards. I called Sarah and I said, I just had the most quintessential vitamin T experience ever. Pure human connection. Mm-hmm. Like she just was so happy. And I went back to her and I said, Sophia, those were delicious tacos, especially the suadero. And she's like, oh, thank you. It makes me so happy that you love the food. Like, where is this mentality in business?
Yeah.
Right. And it felt like the way that business maybe used to be in like the olden days, you know, like general store, sort of little house on the prairie days, where you come in and you're like, oh, you know what? Mr. Olson gives you this new hat that came in because he knows you love hats.
Yeah.
And you like brown hats. And this is the brown hat. And he cares. And anyway, I thought, gosh, I long for the day when we can have businesses that are just built on that level of trust. Look, don't worry about paying me right now. I know you're good for it. I was a perfect stranger. She doesn't know that I'm good for it. I am. And I will be back. And I told her I'll bring friends. But that is an incredible mentality.
Well, that doesn't pencil out for investors, right?
What's that?
We've lost that throughout the last couple of years. But
totally.
I don't know if I told you, but the data actually suggests that you'll make more money when you do that.
Well, totally.
Yeah.
There's like, it's actually, customers will spend 140% more when they have a positive customer experience. Mm-hmm. And I'm like going to bring my friends back there. I'm going to not only pay her, but I'm going to, you know, continue to be a loyal customer, which are hard. I mean, we all spend so much time, money, and effort to get people to come through our doors. And she didn't want to let me go.
Yeah.
You know, she
has a
genuinely,
great customer now.
Yeah, exactly. And genuinely, she cared that I was able to eat.
And I think actually,
I mean, it's amazing.
I would say most small businesses, if you have one or two stands, tend to be more like that.
Totally, totally.
It's the scalability when you go from one to two to five, because to do that, you need people and you need good people. And
yeah.
That's what's really hard, because we're like, we need to automate everything and make sure that it happens.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think the scalability and getting more chains, like national franchise chains, that is what's taking away from it, because it's hard to do that at a large scale.
It is hard, but it's possible.
Oh, for sure it's possible.
And I think, like you said, obviously we need to bring on the right people, but we need to set up the our brand DNA. You know, and
Chick-fil-A.
Everyone needs that. I
Chick-fil-A
was going to say, I mean,
everybody, like, they're, yeah, you're an all-star, and I don't ever get that when
same
I get to
McDonald's.
Same
thing at Trader Joe's.
And Chick-fil-A's huge, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, I think that's just,
they've
it's
set
a lot
up
harder
that,
to do it.
They've set up those systems and expectations, yeah, and way, like the Chick-fil-A way, mm-hmm, that, you know, I have so many stories, but it's what drives us to, you know, oftentimes I'll ask people when I'm speaking or whatever, I say, who loves Trader Joe's? And like everyone's hands go up, and yeah, sometimes both hands go up. They're like, that's my favorite. How many grocery stores are between your house and Trader Joe's? And people are like 12, 13, 14. And they're like counting all these groceries. Why do you go to all of that extra effort, mm-hmm, to make it to Trader Joe's? Yes, they have some unique things that you can't get other places, but it's that feel of they care about me.
Yep.
I'm a human. There's this connection. Is it an intimate, deep connection? Not necessarily, but it's human and it's real.
Yeah.
And they have figured out a way by first like developing this really rich internal culture that they now bring to life, mm-hmm, their mission and values to life through that. It's pretty remarkable.
Have you
pretty
looked at the Dutch Bros? I get a good feeling every time I go to Dutch Bros. I feel like they're all young, hip. I mean, I went yesterday and the dude's in a tank top.
Oh, really?
And he's coming out and he gave us an extra muffin top.
You know, yeah,
we ordered.
That's amazing. That's awesome.
I feel like the few interactions I had at Trader Joe's is pretty, like yesterday was Sunday. They have double drive through all the way back. At Dutch Bros. And yeah, I'm driving and a quarter mile later you have Starbucks. And there's not one car in the drive through.
Interesting, yeah.
Just there in Pleasant Grove.
Interesting. Yeah, in all honesty, I've never been to Dutch Bros. I mean, I've seen them like grow and pop up everywhere. But yeah,
and
I haven't been.
It's another brand that, again, I don't know a ton about them, but I think they're
getting closer to nailing that.
Closer to the Chick-fil-A, Trader Joe's,
cool,
than they are the McDonald's, Starbucks.
Yeah. What's interesting too is that Chick-fil-A, I mean, these are a couple of years statistics back, but Chick-fil-A per store revenue is greater, wow, than McDonald's, yeah, Subway, and Starbucks combined. And they have 1/7 the time to do it in as well.
It's crazy.
Because they're closed on Sundays.
They crush it.
It's pretty amazing. But it's that they care just that much more, mm-hmm, about creating that human connection with their, and really, like, that's where our economy is now. We've like made this transition from a transaction based economy where I give you money, you give me a cookie,
yep,
and we call it, right? We now expect more from the people that we give our money, time, and attention, yep, to. We want them to know us. We want them to care. It's a relationship, experience-based economy now, and not everyone's fully embraced that transition.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's huge opportunities for the brands that do want to attach on to this idea of really caring and creating a more humanized brand experience that'll really propel them to prosperity.
And I can tell you're
prosperity.
Super passionate about that. So let's start on the joy and fulfillment. You've been in that entrepreneurship,
yeah,
mode forever.
Yeah.
What is it about it that's bringing you more joy and fulfillment that allows you to keep coming back business after business, industry after industry?
Yeah.
And just keep going.
I think there's a couple of things. There is just this like incredibly powerful force in who I am that just wants to create something from nothing. And it's kind of crazy.
You're special.
What?
I said you're special.
Oh, I mean, no, I think we all have that idea to create inside of us. And for whatever reason, I've just like either fed that or someone's fed that in me. And I've seen the fulfillment and joy that I get from it. And so it's just something that drives me. So I think there's that. I also think that there's two other things. I'll end with the one that's probably the most important for me, but the other is just the idea of, doing something that's hard.
Mm-hmm. That satisfaction.
Well,
and the confidence. For me, I get good confidence when I do something hard.
Yeah.
Like it propels me to be like, oh, you can do, if you did that, you could probably do that.
Totally.
And then it's just a chain reaction of dominoes.
Yeah. My friend his family, they have a saying like, if it's too hard for everyone else, it's just about hard enough for us, you know, in his family. So it's like, that like challenge of doing something that someone says, no, you can't do that. That's never been done before. Or that's really impossible or difficult to do. That's like, oh, okay. Well,
challenge accepted. Well,
exactly. Right. Yeah. And so, I think there's that bit of element of, you know, let's tackle something that's going against the current, that's different and, not normal. And there's an element of crazy and being an entrepreneur as well. So the other part of joy for me is that I've always felt very driven to be involved in anything in something that has a direct impact in helping my fellow brothers and sisters all over the world. Like I just want, and my neighbors, like the next door neighbors, but then, you know, expanding the positive impact that each of us can have and really experimenting with that impact. And I think that's what business is. Businesses are all just grand experiments, right? Mm-hmm. I think we talk about lawyers and doctors. We say, well, medicine do you practice? What law do you practice? Why don't we say that about business? Like what business do you practice instead of where do you work or what do you do? Because we're all practicing. And so I think that it's an amazing practice to be able to get to, positively impact people's lives forever, you know, whether they're a team member that you encourage to continue building and developing their unique potential and their talents and characteristics, or it's the joy that you're bringing to people in the moment with a churro or with whatever philanthropic efforts that you're involved in. All of those things for me come together and bring so much meaning to life. And meaning to business. So that's not just like you get up and grind through work.
Yeah.
Work is hard and can be really hard, but it's such a joy. I'm so happy that I get to do things that I just love.
I feel like what you described in that, like, especially the challenge part, that's what most entrepreneurs, like what drives them. Mm. And then what I also see most entrepreneurs, including myself at times, fall into is I'm going to win or this challenge at all costs. You sacrifice health and relationships for this shiny object that's going to come in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, whatever. So then it's, okay, how do you find joy in the journey and how do you find it now? Mm. And I feel like you do a good job about that. You're healthy. Look at those arms right there. But how do you balance that? And I guess before you could answer, do you agree with that observation of most entrepreneurs? They get a little bit too caught up in the challenge and the drive and lost in obtaining that shiny goal.
Yeah. You know, I don't know what percentage of entrepreneurs do, but I know that it happens. I mean, I think that like it happens, it can happen to all of us, myself included. Like it's easy to get so, to feel this unusual entrepreneurial drive and to let that just be something that propels you forward, and you become like myopic and just, you know, with your blinders on to this is what I need to get. I think that it becomes so important to continually like ground myself in the things that I know are of so much value to me. Uh-huh. Those other things ultimately, you know, it's like you're not taking that with you in the next life, all that stuff. And yes, we can certainly, it's not, you know, let's make as much money as we can. Absolutely. Everyone, we should. But really staying grounded as to what is of eternal value, what's like of perpetual value to me and to those around me. And how do I continually remind myself of that? Because it's so easy to just get in and go. Yeah. Like, when you're building a business, that's what you do. You get in and you go and you're driving and you're building the car while you're driving it down the street. We used to say that with the airline. It's like, we're flying the plane while we're building it. You know, it's like, that is what it feels like. But, for me, it's been really important to continue. And it's a continual daily, even many, many times during the day, continually regrounding myself in what is truly meaningful and important. And that's like, for me, that is the human connection.
So for somebody listening, what do you do? Because I do agree that has to be done multiple times a day. What are those little things that you try to do multiple times a day to bring you back and ground you?
Yeah. Daily and even, within a day or on a regular basis, weekly, monthly, yearly, whatever that looks like for me. So there's a number of different things that I love to do. Breathing's helpful. I've really seen the power of breath and controlled breath work. And coupled with meditation.
Do you have a favorite breath?
Coupled with breath, prayer.
Work? Like a breathing technique?
I've done a number of them. I've done some of the breath work through some apps. I've also done it through with my friend Louie in Riverton. I've done it with Wim Hof, the Wim Hof method. I love also, but you don't always have an hour and a half every day to do a Wim Hof, full Wim Hof session. So for me, I think breath work and really like breath is you know, the spirit of God is what it is. You're like breathing into your body and letting it give you life. I love it. I think there's so much power that we can unlock with breath and control and just being fully present. It also helps you be really present. So that coupled with meditation, prayer, absolutely. My faith, you know, my faith practices help me so much. Even if it's just for a minute and it doesn't even like... Yes, sure. I kneel down and pray, but I also pray a heck of a lot when I'm in the middle of frying churros or when I'm at like in the middle of speaking at a consulting engagement or driving down the road. I have conversations with God and I think all of those things just do is help ground me on realizing what is truth and what is my divine like purpose as a human, as a man, as an individual and just reconnecting with that, because it's so easy to get distracted. So easy to get distracted on what, like each of us has a unique purpose. Have you heard of the ikigai?
No,
it's like ikigai. It's a Japanese word. It means reason for being, roughly translated reason for being. And it's like one of the most popular TED talks. And it's this beautiful intersection that it's a Venn diagram that intersects where that is your unique reason for being here on the earth. Mm-hmm. And every one of us have that. And so for me, what helps me do that are some of those things: prayer, reading, like inspiring words, truth, reading truth, whether that's Holy Writ or listening to a podcast or reading an article. I love spending time in nature. Nature grounds me. Physical exercise grounds me. I feel like sometimes when I'm super stressed at work, lots of things going on, I don't know what to do. I'm like gonna lose my mind. If I had hair, I'd pull it out. You know, like all of these sorts of things. And I'm like, I just need to go on a run. And I get on that run. And like, I think it's a combination of the oxygen, the blood flowing, you know, like just focusing on that, on stretching my body, the limits of your body. I think all of that helps to get you back focused into what really matters. And I think it also helps me reduce anxiety as well, mm-hmm. you know, because you can get so wound up and like, how could this be? And why, I can't believe this happened or whatever. And then you do that and you're like, okay, it's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. You re-ground to your purpose and that those types of things really help me. I've started doing over the recent years, I've done Bill Gates does a deep work week. Have you guys read that book, Deep Work?
No.
No, I've heard of it.
It's so good. It's essentially the power of undistracted focus.
Yeah.
Allows you to go deep into who you are, what you need to be doing, planning, life. It's like you're your own life coach during that time. I've started the practice of doing it once a year where I'll isolate myself for several days. And I typically like to go to a place that I've never been before because I think getting out of that comfort zone or something familiar mm-hmm. also puts you in a different framework, mindset, you know? And I can't even tell you how powerful it's been. I mean, I'm like writing, I post-its, I write on windows. I'm like just going.
Yeah.
You know,
all those ideas
and flow. Ideas and flow, but also just like grounding and centering in and getting close to God has also been really helpful for me mm-hmm. in that whole process and realizing that just like all of us, I can have a positive impact on the world, you know? And how do I tap into that more? What do I need to do? And whenever I get sad or lonely or depressed or feel anxious or stressed, like it's because I'm not remembering gratitude, but I'm also not remembering my identity and my purpose.
Yeah.
Gratitude's another really big one. Like,
yeah.
like embracing embracing a gratitude mindset. There's this practice that I need to be better at it than I need to do it more regularly. But just simply, I think Brendon Burchard talks about this. You know, one of the things that high performers do every day is list at least three things that they're grateful for.
Yeah.
Like literally write them down. So I have my Evernote and I like type them out. I'm not as consistent as I want to be, but I know it's there and I jump into it and I'm like three things I'm thankful for. It's just so good to pause because as entrepreneurs, we can just go. We're just like on. Go, go, go. That's what we do. And so
That you've mentioned is all to pause.
Pause.
Right?
Pause. I know.
Breath work gets you present.
Totally.
Exercise. I mean, it's hard to go sweat your guts out and think about business while you're running, while you're sprinting, right?
Exactly.
You're in the moment.
Yeah.
Or gratitude. Again, you're in the moment of thinking what you're grateful for, but you're not, it's anything to get you, I guess, take that break.
From yes, whatever you're doing. From the hustle.
From the hustle.
So, yeah.
I love that. You mentioned creativity, and that's something that you love to create and you feel like everybody creates. What do you think? Why do you think that more people don't create or what prevents them from doing that? Because I'm kind of thinking, as soon as you said that, I thought, no, I don't think everybody likes to create, or at least not at a certain level.
I think
they're more comfortable not.
Well, I mean, not to get like super like out there, but like, I think our society does a lot to stifle creation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think the systems that we have in school, the expectations that we put on each other in our education system, the systems that we have in career movement,
So is it telling people that they shouldn't create, that they can't create, that it's too hard to create? What is that system?
I think there's less, like our school system has like, there's creative arts, right? Like it's not about being like creative in artwork or in music or in business or anything. It's just an attitude of this is the way that it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the way that you should be. And this is the path that you should take.
Yeah.
Free we say these hard. Words like should all the time to each other. Right. And we think that we know the answers for, I think I know the answers for you. And you think you know the answers for him. And he thinks he knows the answers for me. Yeah. Like we all think we know what each other should do. And even just recently I thought, oh man, I wonder what would it be like? I want to be that type of person. And this is kind of a new thing for me just literally in the past couple of weeks. I've been, I want to be the type of person that is instead of, well, you should do this. I want to be the person that's encouraging you in your whatever you feel is the best path for you.
Mm-hmm. I think that's going back
that's
to like
hard.
The Chick-fil-A or not the Chick-fil-A, that taco experience.
Yeah.
I think it's the same thing. We want to do that. But if you're a principal and you have 1,000 students, how do you train them all?
Yeah.
Right. You give them what's best for most of them. And then some of people like yourself or like Mike or myself, we kind of break free. We're like, I see what you're saying, but I'm going to choose a different path.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a structure that says this is what's best for most people. And then most people follow it.
And that's what's incentivized in our culture as well.
Yeah. I think it's because it's hard to get, the principal can't sit down with every single student.
Correct.
And then I think that's relates also to religion. It's like, this is what's best for most people and there's structures, but every single one, when you go down to the bottom levels of that organization, any organization, it's hard to control that. And you can't take everything case by case. So it's just like strict rules. No on this, yes on this. No on this, yes on this. There's a lot of gray area. But generally speaking, for structure and for scalability.
And for order and efficiency and all of these things
thing
that as humans, we put so much value on.
Mm-hmm.
And as our society has become more and more complex, you know, I think it has required many of those things, but that's also ended up like stifling, I think, this inner desire that every single one of us have because, you know, to create.
Thanks.
We're all born to be creators. One other thing what you just said really quick is this thing that I don't even know, maybe I should call it like the snowflake principle or something, but it was several years back and it snowed in April again. Like we just had happened. And I was like, for the love, can we please? I mean, I'm so grateful for the water that is helping us, but, and I saw, and then all of a sudden I had this, I got to now scrape off my windshield, like very selfish
negative.
Self-focused and negative. Yeah. And then I saw this snowflake. For whatever reason, I like zeroed in on the snowflake and it was like the most perfectly, it would like the delicacy and intricacy of this design on this snowflake was so perfect. Mm-hmm. I couldn't not be happy. I was like, this is amazing. Look at how beautiful this is. And here I am complaining that I have to scrape my windshield and spend 30 more seconds. Imagine that, like scraping my windshield to be able to go and do what I'm off to the races to do.
Which comes down to perspective, right?
Right.
As soon as you mentioned the snowflake, I thought of the Grinch. You know, like for all we know, there's a whole village on that. Just like when we're walking and scraping our driveways and complaining, there's legitimately millions and millions of bugs with societies. And it's like, but we just don't focus on
that.
But you can, if you can pause and be present with a snowflake or with an ant, then it does allow you to change the perspective and be more grateful.
And here's the other thing that it taught me too, because to what you were just saying, like, how does the principal give a personalized experience to every one of his or her students? Then I was like, there is not one single snowflake like this ever that's ever been created or will ever be created, just like us humans. Yep. And I was thinking, okay, God's figured out how to do this. He's figured out how to create, be that principle that does give that personal touch and communication and connection with each individual person. Just like he created that snowflake, he's figured out how to do it. And I'm like, let me tap into that. I want to tap into that as a leader, as a human. I want to be able to figure out, and we will someday, but figure out, like, what are the secrets to that? How do we create business in our areas of influence? How do we create those businesses? How, within our family, within wherever we volunteer and whatever we're doing, how do we really do that? There's a way, because it exists. We just need to
figure it out.
We need to figure it out.
The sauce of the universe.
Mike, you got the last question, man.
How do you want to be remembered?
Oh man. This is a little bit of hitting home for me right now, because my grandfather just recently passed about a week ago. And he is definitely, thank you. He's definitely one of my heroes. I mean, he's been with us for 97 years. So legacy, and the type of legacy that he has left us, is something that is very fresh and, you know, right there at the forefront on my thoughts recently. Gosh, I think that if I can be remembered as someone that uplifts others and has brought joy and encouragement to everyone to achieve their divine potential, then that's all I really want to do in life.
If I can give you some input on that, I think when we met the first time, we were speaking at something at UVU together.
Yeah, and that was so fun.
Dude, you were so friendly and nice. Oh. And you gave me one of those churro kits that I took home with my kids. But I was just like, Scott doesn't even know who the hell I am. But I did feel that from you.
Oh, so I appreciate you. That. Thank you. That means a lot. I think if my life can be wasted in that, then that's a life well lived.
I'm for it.
You know,
I love it.
Completely agree.
Thanks for coming on and taking the time.
Yeah, it was awesome to be with you guys. Thanks so much for asking.
All right, it's a wrap.